Hello, everyone. This is Danielle Albrecht. I am coming to you with another episode as the independent educator. And again, that independent part of education is even more true than ever because of teaching from home and doing distance learning. And this week, I am going to report on my third week of teaching from home and telling you kind of what worked this week and what was my key takeaways from this distance learning in this time frame within the last week. The title of this episode is Consistency, Caring, and Cheerleading, because I think that's what I spent most of my time this week really trying to get behind as we're going through this process. So the first thing was consistency. Everything that I've read about doing distance learning and teaching online is the importance of really just getting into a routine so that energy isn't spent trying to find various links or articles or platforms that you're going to use for class, but creating a certain routine, just like walking into the classroom and putting your phone up and finding your seat and knowing where you are. That consistency really helps a student feel more confident in their endeavors. And so I would say that this week, all of my assignments were very much, next time, all you have to do is this one assignment on this website, you know, make sure that you're consistent, that before you have my class, you know, you've gone on and done that. I also encourage my students to do the practice work right after class so that they didn't have to think about it for a number of days. Because now instead of seeing each other every other day, because we're only meeting three classes per day instead of four, there's a longer time between sessions. And that doesn't mean I'm giving them more work between sessions. It simply means that I'm making sure that, you know, they have some sort of rhythm. And that's, I guess, more of what I tried to create this week with consistency. The other component was that I really spent time this week engaging with students and showing that I cared about them. I spent more time sending emails, initiating conversations, following up on conversations during class. You know, if I sensed a kid was kind of distant or removed from the class lesson, I followed up with stuff. If I found articles that I really thought would tune into a certain kid's interest, I sent it to them and kind of put that, you know, framework around it so that I started to make sure, you know, as we spend more time apart, I worry that some of those relationships can dwindle and decay. And so I was very intentional last week, this week, making sure that the caring aspect was there. Another thing that I did more consistently this week is that whenever they would log on in small groups or in my office hours or just for our mainstream class, is that I made sure that I really asked how they were doing, and not in a, how are you doing? I'm about to start. I don't really care, but it's a nice thing to say, but more of a look me in the eye and tell me how you really are doing. And I think that was good for both of us, you know, whatever student I was engaging with at the time. One, I think because I'm alone during this time, I'm self-isolating by myself, I need that interaction myself. So maybe it was selfish behavior at the origin of it all. But then I would ask, you know, I think it was also beneficial for kids that now that they're surrounded by family and they're just on all the time with their family, maybe they're not getting that kind of questioning because, you know, they've spent hours and hours together and every meal together for the last how many days. And so I think that helped as well. I really cherished the time I had in some small groups, kids that really wanted at this point, because we're primarily prepping for our AP exams, which are next month. I find that some kids are really just still really passionate about learning and want to, you know, ask me questions and perfect their learning and understanding. And so they're attending office hours and really diving into discussion with me, or, you know, the why does this happen, or what is this about? And so those have been really fun. And I think that there's time for that once all of this is over and we hit a new normal. I'm definitely going to take things from this online distance learning with me. I think that chances like this before a test, you know, having open hours that kids can just get on a call and ask me questions, you know, I think that would be a great thing to keep doing in the future rather than just having an after-school study session when they're exhausted. Why not help them as they're preparing, you know, as they're studying for the test? That makes good sense to me of kind of doing more of an evening open session that they can tune into. This week, I also spent time modeling a lot more, graphing a lot more within AP Human or AP Econ. I graphed a lot more using a whiteboard technology within Zoom and, you know, kind of displaying my work more often. And that was intentional, not only because of what I'm teaching this week, but also the idea of that's what I would do in the classroom. And those are the things that I always, you know, I thought it would bring some comfort as we're going through this. That being said, this week was full of a lot of highs and lows. I had the first tears on Zoom. A student reached out and needed some advice, and it got tearful. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that the student felt comfortable enough to reach out and that they're, you know, I could be a source of comfort. I want to say that, you know, this college stuff this year for seniors is really tough. They're, you know, making a college decision largely without going and visiting these colleges for a final time. They're doing all this stuff online. I've talked about that, but it really hits home as this is a big decision for kids, right? It's always been a big decision for kids. And so in some cases, they're facing disappointment. In some cases, parents are losing jobs. They're feeling a financial strain, even if it's not true, even if the parents have not said it to them. I think kids are feeling it indirectly, that they should make decisions accordingly. And so, you know, that's where teaching economics and really showing kind of the benefits of going to college and what type of university, et cetera. You know, I keep it in the economics lens and as the human coaching lens rather than the college counseling. They're the experts on it. But I've always had students who reach out and want to know my opinion on it as just one of many opinions, like I've said in the past. And again, this week was also full of a lot of really nice emails from students that really thankful for the work that we've done, really thankful for how quickly I'm trying to grade stuff and giving them feedback on stuff. And, you know, I feel like now in week three, I can do that without, you know, sabotaging the rest of my day. I don't feel as hooked to my email. Like I said last week, I didn't feel like I'm a bad teacher if I'm not checking my email all the time. And so I think not only did I provide consistency for students, but I found some consistency in my own schedule for that. And then finally, I just wanted to share that part of my week, and this will be it for the last portion of this distance learning, is I really took on the role of a cheerleader. That, you know, I always say within AP review, I'm really the coach at this point of the year rather than the teacher. I've taught the material. Now I'm just coaching them to the finish line, which of course is a nice track analogy. And I was a track and field coach, so that makes sense. But I really do feel like, you know, they have to keep the energy up. They have to keep their eyes on the prize to finish the race and make sure that, you know, if they need additional help, if they need additional problems, I can certainly give them that. But I had a review session last week and kids were like, you're so upbeat about all this. You're so encouraging that this is going to go well. And I'm like, well, of course, you know, you've done the work. The way that the AP exam has changed is really to my students' benefit, that they can focus on smaller set of skills that they really had a good handle on. And so I think that's something that, you know, I'm going to continue to do until the end. And I've always felt like that's my role, especially by late spring as an educator, is to be that cheerleader, to coach them to the finish line, like I said, rather than, you know, holding that, you know, there's typically very few summative grades at this point of the year. And that's been true with distance learning as well. In, you know, next week will be my first summative assignment for one of my classes, and we'll see how that goes. But otherwise, you know, it's been formative, it's been practice, it's been, you know, I use the analogy that we have to practice our economics, our graphing, just like when we exercise, you know, if we don't use it, we lose it. I mentioned to the students over and over again that, you know, we just have to keep it fresh in our brains. And so that's kind of the repeated practice of what we're doing. And, you know, having great discussion in the meantime, we're about to hit a major point within our learning if the kids are there of aha moments. You know, I was teaching a lesson last week about in AP Human Geography. I was talking about like how water tastes, or water is, local water is added to Coca-Cola. And so when you travel, your beverages may taste different in different locales. And I saw several students on Zoom, their jaws just dropped. Like suddenly this understanding of what's happened as they've traveled around the country or around the world made more sense to them. And while that will never be on the AP exam because that portion is not on this year's test, that's stuff I still wanted to teach. And it's still part of geography that, you know, when we're looking at bulk gaining industries, I still wanted to get that information across to my students. And so, you know, that was just a funny moment of, I still felt some sort of reaction or emotion without just, you know, a thumbs up on Zoom or, you know, something of that nature. So that was pretty encouraging that we were able to, you know, still get that across, and some of that applicable knowledge is still coming in a different format, but it's still working. So, you know, all in all, I have to say this was a good week. By no means am I sold that I'm to be a distance educator, but I think that good education, good teaching can be done in all forums. And while I think I'm more passionate and more suited for being an in-classroom, in-the-flesh instructor, you know, I said last week, I don't miss discipline. I don't miss having to have some of those, you know, talks about them going to the bathroom and all of that. But I think that I miss the laughter. I miss the energy that they would pour into me. And I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. But I have been reflective again this week of what I would do if I started a course this way, and what kind of parameters or conditions I'd put in place so that, you know, from the very beginning, we build community and we build consistency so that we can care for one another. And I can cheerlead from the very beginning or coach from the very beginning, as well as be an advocate and instructor for them. So, you know, it's expanding my idea of education, and it's reminding me that I don't need to hold their hand as much as I thought. I think that I've always known that about my teaching, that I do a little too much spoon feeding. But this is a chance to really put it on them and say, you know, I can give you the foundation, but you got to finish this on your own. And if you want it, it's there. And if you don't, then, you know, you made that decision, and you know, life will keep rolling no matter what. But now as students are starting to make the college decision and seeing what college courses count, you know, and how many credits they can get with AP classes, I'm still having that conversation of, you never know where you're going to end up. You never know what college you may want to get to. And so that's something that, you know, I really wanted to touch on from that standpoint. I haven't done an economics lesson in a few of the last podcasts, but I want to return back to it today in light of our current situation with our economy. Given the pandemic, we have hit a recessionary time, and that's a slowing down of our economy. Unemployment numbers are up. Our growth rate is down. Inflation should go down as well, because price levels should drop. All of those, you know, I could graph for you, but I want to talk about the impacts of that and how students and educators are also feeling that, that there has been a slowing down of our processes. Even though our days feel full, we have hit a slump. We have hit a downturn in our educational process. And it's okay to feel that. And when we hit a down point, we also will see that we'll go back up again. And what we know from economic history is that when we hit a trough within our business cycle, we also hit peaks. And so I encourage educators out there to look forward to that next peak. Look forward to the time when we are with our students again, and when we can reflect and think back on this time as something that hopefully brought us together, made us stronger, and hit new potential within our growth as individuals, as educators, as a society. So that's my little connection between economics and our current situation. And I wish you all well. Thank you so much for listening. And I'll update you next week. I've got a few more weeks of this online distance learning, and I want to document it in some form or fashion. So please stay healthy, stay home, and be well.